Greetings, friends. My name is Jessa McLean, and I'm here to provide you with some blueprints of disruption. This weekly podcast is dedicated to amplifying the work of activists, examining power structures, and sharing the success stories from the grassroots. Through these discussions, we hope to provide folks with the tools and the inspiration they need to start to dismantle capitalism, decolonize our spaces, and bring about the political revolution that we know we need. Anna, I don't even know actually how to start this. Well, welcome back. Let's start with that. This will be your third time here on the show. I'm glad to see you're doing all right.
Thanks for having me.
Can you introduce yourself to folks who, heaven forbid, missed your episodes earlier?
Yeah, I'm Anna. I'm based in Toronto. I do organizing with Labor for Palestine and Independent Jewish Voices. So I've been very busy in the past 6 months, unfortunately.
And you hit the news the other day a little bit, didn't you? I mean, if you heard Anna's interview with us before, we talked always about the possibility of being ticketed, arrested, doing direct action. And sure enough, I unplug for a day, one day, and I get messages. Did you hear Anna Lipman was arrested and Desmond Cole was arrested? Oh, I was so mad, Anna. I wasn't sure whether you'd come into the studio, so I recorded a whole separate rant, and then I was like, oh no, I need a better perspective on this. Plus, maybe a couple days to cool off.
Fair, fair.
You were arrested for an action way back in January.
Yeah, last weekend, there was a arrest warrant put out for myself and Desmond in relation to a protest at Oz Industries back in January 31st. So they certainly took their sweet time figuring that out, you know?
I'd love to know how much money they fucking spent trying to, figure out who was there. I mean, they know who was there. Most people post that they're there. You know, Desmond wasn't wearing a mask and all over social media, the good and the bad social media pages, right? You mentioned Desmond. There's a third unnamed comrade that was also arrested. Is that correct?
Yes. And they were arrested at a action that weekend. So unlike me and Desmond, they were actually like snatched from the crowd with no warning. Again, for something that happened supposedly January 31st, right?
Maybe you can correct me. There were some reports that one of you was assaulted upon the rest. And you're describing kind of like perhaps turning yourself in. I can only imagine your comrade was the one.
Yeah, I have to imagine. I don't know the particular details, but, you know, when undercovers randomly grab you.
Yeah.
I think especially if you're a woman, it's scary and you don't know what's happening. And half the time they don't identify themselves, right?
That's fucked up, especially considering the trial that's going on right now with the killing of the police officer who was in plain clothes and run down by somebody who their defense is that they were fearful of this kind of ambush attack by big white guys, typically.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you knew this was always a possibility. This was a kind of tame action of the ones that we've seen recently. We're talking about like a sit-in in an office space. This is the same action we're talking about back in January 31st. From the videos that I can see, it's a bunch of people with banners, all wearing their COVID masks, many of them on the ground, cross-legged. It was really peaceful. I mean, there was a megaphone and some accusatory statements made to the employees there on their complicity in genocide. But I saw, you know, cops will charge you for anything these days, it seems like. But were you anticipating an arrest from this kind of action?
Yeah, I mean, I think what's so kind of silly about this is, you know, if you look at the videos from the Oz action, a lot of what was happening there was praying, singing, you know, really celebrating the Jewish initiative for justice anywhere in the world. I honestly can't think of a more non-violent action than, you know, singing in an office building. But here we are, you know, and again, like not even getting arrested like that day, but, you know, this huge gap of time in between this action and the arrests of, you know, myself and these two other comrades. That's not lost on me because it's a way to intimidate and scare people, right? And so the second, you know, you and everyone else heard that we got picked up, like, everyone's thinking back, like, oh, what actions was I at? Or are the police coming for me now, you know? One of the reasons I'm here is because not only do we have to not let the police intimidate us out of our solidarity, but we have to continue to put the focus on what's actually happening, which is the genocide, right?
Absolutely. And you're completely right. That time gap has, I think, twofold purposes. That sit and wait aspect, where the unknown is now hanging above other protesters and potential protesters. But also the date that you ended up getting arrested, if I'm correct, was April 15th. And this was a day that the Palestinian movement had called for an escalation, a focus on specifically economic blockades. And that's important because going back to Oz Ventures, we're not going to forget about those fuckheads. Excuse me. I've got notes, so I'm just going to spew through it a little bit. These folks are banking off a genocide. $350 million portfolio that, like, exclusively invests in, we're talking like Israeli security, intelligence, those fucking drones. So I love that. I love that one of the things that was involved in this particular action was the use of drone sounds. We've talked about how that terrorizes the people of Gaza. I don't even know if we can talk about what they're doing with the drones now, reportedly airing the sounds of children and women screaming. But like, this is the non-lethal weaponry that everyone's like, oh, don't worry. We're worried. This company, pretty much headed in part by Harper, I think he's like the chair of their advisory committee, but he joined like a bunch of spooks. We're talking like they used to run the CIA, Mossad, MI5. These are just the shadiest of people who have now decided they're going to help people invest as much money as possible in these clearly deadly technologies. And so Anna and her comrades, to think that you are the ones arrested and demonized and criminalized for staging a peaceful sit-in while these people are smug in their profiteering off of not just the genocide, but the occupation. I imagine they stand to make a lot of money off of all Israeli aggression. This is why you do what you do, yeah?
Absolutely. I don't think it's lost on any of us that, again, these non-lethal weapons exports are, again, like the pieces and parts of what make lethal weapons, right? And so if Oz is making this technology, is making these parts for drones that are shipped and then used, like, how is that any less lethal than a bullet, right?
Yeah. You know, when we hear about an arms embargo and we know the liberals and how they behave, we understand that, like, anything that could slip through any loopholes, or you couldn't even call them that, you know, intentional cracks, this would be that, right? Like, this is one of those things that even if you got a complete arms embargo would likely still happen. They would still make their money.
Absolutely.
One of the things that bugged me about watching the videos of the action at Oz was one of the employees there was mocking the participants for wearing masks. And this is not new. And I didn't really make a big deal about it until I read your charges. What the fuck is that? Can you shed light on that? Like, I'm okay. Just a reminder, COVID is still around.
Are you sure?
On top of the fact, yes, I'm sure. Everyone knows it, right? Everyone knows this is true. On top of that, we know why we mask, even if COVID wasn't around at this point. There are so many reasons to mask. But Anna, can you explain to the audience what I'm so upset about your charges?
Yeah, for sure. So myself, and this is a very common charge that's been happening to lots of folks who have been getting arrested for, you know, solidarity with Palestine, is not only did I get charged with unlawful assembly, but I also got charged with unlawful assembly while masked. So not only do you get to put two charges on there now, but it certainly makes a lot of light of COVID, right?
Yes, absolutely. And it, like the time frame that we were talking about, used on our mentality, right? On our, the way that we go into actions. This too, right? This too is meant to, they don't give a shit about COVID, those cops. They just want to see your face. They don't want it to have to take very long to identify who the fuck is there. Harper tried to make it illegal to protest with a mask, right? And our response was to just go out completely masked. And that was before it was cool. That was before it was to save your life and your brain. This is definitely an attempt to unmask us so that we face not just legal repercussions so that they can identify us and charge us for whatever reason, but so those fuckheads can dox us, so the media can print our faces and do what they do to Palestinian solidarity activists.
Absolutely. And it limits who can come out to actions and protests, right? Because there's a lot of folks in the solidarity movement who, you know, have compromised health, live with older relatives, what have you, right? So masking, as I'm sure we all know, it's a sign of care for our community, for our loved ones, right? And so rhetoric that we're hearing around like masking from our government, it's a very abled rhetoric, right? And it leaves behind a lot of the people in our community that we care about, right?
Absolutely. And on top of COVID, I keep mentioning this, but COVID is like the main reason most of us are masking, because there's no hiding the fact. Most of us don't hide the fact that we're down there or anywhere or talking shit about the occupation, right? Like, it's just that ship has sailed. You know, our name and face are out there, and there's a lot of people. So like, that's not the deterrent. But let's be fair, there are people losing their jobs that still want to be part of the movement, but it's not safe for them to do so. Hence the Toronto Community Justice Fund. Hopefully that's helping you folks out. The link to that fund will be in our show notes. This is a fund for people who've been criminalized, like Anna. But there's so many other ways that folks are facing repercussions. So I encourage people to support this fund and the kind of idea behind it. And this is people for the Toronto area. Folks in almost all communities are facing this kind of persecution. So this is a great idea to help preemptively take down those barriers that keep people away from protests, right? If they know there's going to be solidarity for people like Anna when they get arrested, they see this, it won't be so scary. The prospect of going through the ringer won't be so scary, because a lot of these time, Anna, like, what are you hearing? These charges typically are not very successful. I mean, that's not to say that folks aren't facing a lot of repercussions from them, but they're usually what we could call like trumped up charges. Like, you mentioned unlawful assembly, failing to disperse, and is it another one? And the classic mischief, which is like fucking anything that the authorities don't really like. That's like kind of like the extra charge everyone seems to get. Even we had a guest on, Sky Johnson, a young woman in the Avenue Road area who taped paper to a window and was charged with mischief. She ended up with tight bail conditions, Anna. Like, she had curfew and shit.
You know, I think that's why it's so important to push back on conditions, right? Because, you know, like a lot of the Indigo 11 folks got like conspiracy. A lot of folks are getting like non-association in their conditions, which is that they're not allowed to like, you know, be around the other folks that got arrested, which is, again, these tactics to break up the movement, right? Myself and Desmond, we got the condition that we weren't allowed to use amplified voice machines, so like megaphones or what have you. You know, our lawyers pushed back. It was silly, right?
I'm so sorry. Like, I know that might not be appropriate to laugh at your circumstance, but of all the conditions,
right?
Have you heard how loud Anna can yell?
Well, that's what I said, right? Is I'm the one person who probably does not need a megaphone, right? But we pushed back against those charges, right? Which is, again, not to say that, like, I would have died without a megaphone in my hand, but
you might.
You know, you gotta. It's important to, you know, push back and really not let the police use these conditions, use these tactics to break up the movement, right?
For a second, I thought maybe you weren't allowed to wear a keffiyeh anymore, because, I mean, that would be just as ridiculous. And apparently we're saving that for the Ontario legislature. But
right?
But not. Doug Ford kind of walked that back, and everyone's mind exploded.
Very
but
odd.
Anyway, I'm not sure where we're at with that. But the megaphone, they tried to rip the megaphone out of your hands. Fuck that. But in all seriousness, you're right. Like, we saw this during the G20, and I think maybe we weren't as savvy, or I don't know, but a lot of protesters, a lot of organizers had horrible conditions for really long bail.
Absolutely.
That included not being able to associate, but also, like, you couldn't be political. You couldn't post about political items. You definitely couldn't attend any protests or anything that had political aims, which is, like, from someone who took political science, like, everything is political. Like, I could stretch that argument a long time, but it's a common tactic that, yeah, I think with a little bit of pushback and some decent legal representation, knowing your rights and the possibilities out there, make a big deal. Because when we talk to other folks, they were just kind of looking to get out of there and would accepted the conditions that were put upon them so that they could just get home for whatever reason.
And that's a tactic, right? They do that intentionally. They put you in really shitty conditions. They make it sound really scary so that you'll agree to anything to leave. And you know, the folks who got arrested on the train tracks the other day, they were held for almost 24 hours, right? And part of that was pushing back against the conditions. And gosh, I'm so thankful.
Because that made me mad. I read that on Joshua Best's Instagram, and I was like, 24 fucking hours for trespassing?
It's ridiculous, right?
Or what? I'm not sure what their charges were. But okay, so that it's almost becomes a choice. Not like you that it's fair that they're held for 24 hours, but it was a bit of a power struggle there.
Yeah, and I mean, they pushed back, and, you know, for myself with the amplified noise, I didn't want to accept that condition. So as much as I feel so thankful that, like, for me, I wasn't held for like 24 hours, right? Like, the strength and bravery of folks who were able to, like, decide, like, no, I want to go to my bail hearing so that I can challenge these conditions. And again, things like amplified sound, like, that's a violation of charter rights, right? So of course the cops will want that, but no judge is going to enforce it, right? And so again, it's that, like, kind of like cat and mouse game, like, who's willing to, you know, wait it out the most to get those conditions, right?
And that could be a point of privilege, right? Like, some people absolutely need to get out of there. Some people have zero experience with the legal system, or,
yeah, you know, or kids.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's advice, but again, like, you got to do you, but know that it is a possibility that a lot of these conditions are just bunk. Okay. Let's go back to economic blockades. Right? Anna doesn't do this for nothing. She doesn't do it so that we talk about her or her experience. I mean, she will. She graciously shares her lived experience so that we could all gain a little bit more courage in our lives, I think. But all of this, like, putting pressure on companies, on politicians, but this economic blockade is important to me and to the movement in general. And I think people can feel it because politicians ain't going to do fuck all to stop that flow. I don't care what they said in the House of Commons. I don't trust them. I saw a TikTok the other day. It was just like, you're lying, you're lying. Anytime you hear the government say anything, I know you're lying. And I just assume you're lying. It's got to be done. The call has been put out and a lot of people answered, particularly on April 15th. And a lot of people were also arrested. Let me just run through a few of the actions that I came across. Maybe you can tell me about more, but, like, folks were reporting it at least 50 cities globally on pretty much every continent. Halifax, I'm always proud of the folks over in Halifax. Their numbers are never that great, but they stretch it out and they do it strategically, you know, for whatever time frame they can have as many people there. And they shut down some roads, I think, to Zim Industries again. We've talked about them before. We love to pester them. I don't think they were arrested there, but 43 people in Seattle were arrested. There were a lot of actions in the United States that specifically targeted the roads going to airports as a form of economic blockade. We know how, like, these are mostly tourists, not like cargo. It's not actually stopping the flow of weapons per se, but it is a real headache for the powers that be. O'Hare Airport also had a shutdown, but again, the response were like over 40 arrests in both those locations. Oakland had thousands show up to, again, they're always kind of aiming at the Portlands there. That's an important spot for Oakland, and they never fail to show up there. But the cops were violent. I've seen footage. They let them sit about for 5 hours, but after that, that was enough, and they just kind of plowed right into them. They wouldn't even let paramedics through. Real pigs. Not sure how many arrests were there, but I imagine there was quite a few. One of my favorite ones, Athens, because I like when a small amount of people shut a big roadway down, because people are like, I can't do that. I don't know 20 people that are willing to come with me, but like,
totally.
And, or I'm not part of a large organization. They imagine blockades being really massive. And this was like 15 people took a very critical artery and just shut it down with their arms. I think they were chained to one another, you know, with those tubes people are putting around their arms, and then they're handcuffed to one another or whatnot underneath these tubes. And it takes authorities forever to untangle these folks. But yeah, it doesn't shut the economy down fully, but we all hear about it. It spreads like wildfire. Ho Chi Minh City, Barcelona, Belfast, Kent, who have been almost militant, the activists over in Kent, England, in their approach to Elbit Systems and some of the other weapons manufacturers there. But do you want to talk a little bit like about why taking a railway or blocking a railway is effective in Canada? We've got lots of them. We've seen Indigenous blockades for days sometimes, but also always they seem to end with police brutality.
Absolutely. You know, one of the major ways that we export parts of weapons and what have you is through our railways into the States. It is this really clear kind of material way to stop exactly what you said, the flow of economics in and out of the country, right? And, you know, I think any time that you mess with someone's money, with their bottom line, that's when they start getting real angry, right? So that brutal police response, it's almost to be expected when you start messing with the bottom line, right?
Joshua Best always gives these great rundowns in his Instagrams. Make sure you read his descriptions of the photos, because it's essentially what happened from the time the action started till every last arrestee gets out on bail. And spoke about a moment there where, you know, police, they do their thing saying, all right, this is your last warning. Anybody else that continues to disobey us is done for, you know, pick your camp now. And at that point, there's no shame in folks. A lot of people cleared from the rail tracks, right? Getting arrested wasn't the goal for the day. And some remained, right? Maybe testing the boundaries of that last warning or whatnot. I mention it because there's some people who cannot be arrested, whether they've got conditions, whether they've got responsibilities, many, many reasons.
Those are the folks cheering for you. Those are the folks emceeing.
You need someone to do jail support.
Yeah, exactly, right? It takes all parts.
Some of us are going to have to. I hope people realize that it's not, maybe Anna can help us realize, like, it's not as scary as perhaps people perceive it to be, but there usually are options within actions. And as an organizer, you should make sure that there are ways for people to participate without getting in over their heads or taking unnecessary risks that would hamper their ability for the long fight.
Absolutely.
Because that's one of the reminders I hate getting. I fucking hate getting. Is that this isn't a quick fight. This isn't going to be over in 6 months. And I don't just mean Gaza. You know, we mean the larger fight. I really bugs me, even though I know it, you know. But it's true, right? We all have to last that long fight, or as many of us as possible. Anna, what can you tell us about being arrested? Because you talked about, you know, they'll put you in horrible conditions.
You know, again, for me, because I turn myself in, it was a very quick experience. I just kind of like signed the paper and left. You know, for folks that get arrested at actions, it can really depend, right? Like, there have been times where Toronto police, after like Lamport, just arrested people and drove them around for hours so we couldn't find them, right? They took our comrades to two separate stations.
They're on to us.
Exactly, which made it a lot more difficult to do jail support. Sometimes they won't tell you what station they're at. You know, they'll make it really difficult.
They don't have to take them to the station that what do we call them? The division? You know, like, fucking, if you're arrested in 52 division, can I not go to 52 division and go get you? Like,
you would think, right?
No, they could just drop you off in Mississauga. What? How far can they go? I mean, fuckers.
Someone needs to do the research, right? But some folks were at like 23 division, which is like North York, right? And no.
It's not easy to get to North York from the core, people, just in case you're wondering. It'll take about 4 hours on a bus. I'm joking, but not really.
Close. I was looking at the time. I was like, 2 hours, maybe I'll go to 14 division, you know? And that's not to say that, like, you know, people who are getting arrested are just being, like, you know, tortured in the back of trucks or anything. I'm sure that's not the case. But, you know, they do what they can to make it difficult for folks, right?
Think of some of my friends who were arrested during the G20 and the conditions that were created to house. And I mean, our comrade Lulu reminded us, just, you know, don't go by the mantra, they can't arrest us all, because they can. Well, I mean, not everybody at the G20 was arrested, but we're talking hundreds. They built, for the youngsters out there that maybe don't remember, they built outdoor cages downtown Toronto. I mean, it was basically like your chain link fencing made into box. Picture Gitmo. They put like young kids in there. I mean, young teenagers were in there, all ages, but kept them overnight, maybe gave them water, really kind of awful, awful conditions. And so, you know, when I said that, is it really that bad? I instantly thought of those stories and I'm going, you know, fucking sometimes it is. You know, sometimes it is. I think people have to also, like, steel themselves and have, like, a resolute kind of attitude where...
Yeah, for sure.
Especially for a cause like this, you perhaps have to imagine what Palestinian prisoners are going through. And you're going into these actions with a level of sacrifice that is to be expected, especially at this point. I really want folks to, I don't want them to be scared, but I want them to be prepared. I want them to know and be ready for these experiences.
For sure. And I think you can, like, you know, take steps, you know, like you were talking about earlier, when you're at actions, either to not get arrested ideally, or to, you know, better prepare for that arrest, right? You know, I have like my arrest bag medication just ready to go, you know? So, you know, there are ways to kind of like prepare, as horrible as it is, right?
You're gonna carry that around with you everywhere you go now.
Well, I'll certainly take it to the actions, right?
Do you worry they'll come for you again?
I mean, I have to say, I slept so good on the 16th, knowing that they already came for me. Right on the 14th, I was like, when is it gonna happen? But on the 16th, I knew, right? So, I mean, that's not to say that you can't get arrested more than once. You can't violate your conditions. But, you know, I think they're making the rounds and not going for the repeats right now.
Let's talk about that. Making the rounds, because, I mean, we don't know your third comrade there, but most people hearing Anna Littman and Deswin Cole in the probably province of Ontario here know who that was. Or anybody who gives a shit about the movement right now knows exactly who was arrested. Is that a coincidence? Because that action had, I don't know, a couple dozen people. I could see people out in the hall, people that were right there in the office. I saw some people I even kind of recognize from the movement. Do you think that they've just grabbed those three because you were the organizers or perceived to be the... What are you getting from that? Like, I feel like the answer is obvious.
I think that we would be naive to think that the police have not been tracking what's happening right now in the movement. And, you know, I don't think it was coincidental for them to snatch me and Desmond, right? Because we're visible, we're vocal, and people see us and go out and do stuff too, right? And so, I mean, think how easy it would be if after the 15th or the 16th, me and Desmond, like, you never saw us again, right? Like, that's a blow to the movement. But it would be really helpful for the cops if that happened, right? And so
they need more than a mischief charge to keep you down, Anna.
Exactly, right? And you know, again, I love this amplified sound condition, because, like, who knows? Like, suddenly Desmond's doing an interview and the police come and arrest them, and it's like, oh, you're talking into a microphone, right? There's all these ways to kind of, the police are working to, again, like, cut the movement off, right? And so I think it's our duty to not let that happen.
Do you ever worry that it's your visibility that made you a target? I know you're not worried about yourself. That's not what I'm talking about. But that same visibility that targeted you also allows, like, your arrest news to spread, which is, like, good, right? You want to get people, like, you'll need solidarity. You need people to know what's going on. But are you worried it's going to scare people like it's meant to, right? If we could take Anna and Desmond down, we could take you all down, you know? Like, is that the approach? Like, they're trying to make an example out of you. What kind of example you want to set?
I mean, I think that's their goal for sure. My biggest concern is that it spreads to my mom. But, you know, aside from her finding out, I don't think people should be intimidated, right? Because it's very par for the course these days.
Anna... Your mom doesn't know.
We'll hope my mom isn't listening to this, right?
She knows what you do, though, yeah?
She does. She does.
You want to, like, even get personal, but, like, my family, they know things, right? I can go to the most tamest shit, Anna, and they'll be like, be careful, stay away from the cops, don't yell at anybody. Like, it's like I get all these instructions, so as I'm running out the door, and I'm just like, yeah, okay.
Right.
No problem. So I can only imagine this dynamic here, you know, and now you have to be like, don't worry, Ma, don't worry, Ma. And then, all right, Ma. I went and did it. But, like, your worst fear was realized, and I'm still here. So if this is Anna's right. Mom listening, I mean, she's good. She's got more street cred now. That's all. No big deal. She can walk us all through it now.
Exactly, right? And I mean, I think for me, like, the amount of, like, community that I've felt since that warrant went out for me is, like, so amazing, so heartwarming. And again, like, getting arrested is not fun. Do not recommend. 0 out of 10, you know, but
you won't be recommending them on TripAdvisor.
Yeah, right. But definitely, you know, like, the amount of people who have kind of, like, come and supported me has just been, like, so amazing.
How can people support you and Desmond and your comrades that are getting arrested, including the ones that were arrested with you and the ones that were arrested just on Tuesday?
Yeah, I think first off, if you want to support any of the folks that have been arrested, keep coming out, right? Because if you stop coming because we got arrested, that's the end of it, right? Like, I couldn't live with myself.
Would that be your worst fear there?
That is my worst fear, right?
I can see it in you, yeah.
Because that means the police won, right? But obviously, second, this mutual aid and how we keep each other safe is, I really think, through the Toronto Community Justice Fund, right? And so, you know, folks can go to tcjf.ca, donate any amount. There's fabulous trustees that deal with all the, you know, adjudication, what have you.
The application. So if folks feel like they've lost out financially or, you know, you've been arrested for your Palestinian advocacy, they kind of do the vetting. Yeah,
exactly. And, you know, it's not just arrest. It's if folks have been fired, if folks have been, you know, intimidated to the point that, you know, they need counseling, things like that, like, that apply, you know,
or fined for using a megaphone, perhaps. when Joshua Best was on, he was talking about, you know, cars getting impounded from actions and the costs that are related. I mean, it was a fucking U-Haul, a rented car all, on top of all of that. And the police fines.
Held for 30 days.
Yeah, these are all supposed to be deterrents. So it's so good to know that there are things in place to, you know, they don't have to sweat that so much.
Yeah. And that's why it's there, right?
Even a small financial deterrent these days is enough to crush people. So the fund is important. Again, the link is in our show notes. Be sure to look at it. Let's go back to the economic blockade as we kind of get ready to sign off and the need for escalation. I think we've done everything we can in the House of fucking Commons. So what do we do now? And you know, blocking the railway, I think, is a positive step, although it comes with the risks that we talk about. I think you don't ever want to get to a point in a movement where people are itching for more and not finding an outlet for it. That's dangerous because they'll find another outlet and it'll be sporadic and, well, anarchy, we talked about that, that can work too. But it's demotivating.
Totally.
Right? When you, because I'll tell you, just so you know, hearing that you got arrested did the opposite of what you worst fear in me. I can't speak for other people. Right, I'm out of the city, but no. Like, if you have court dates as well, like, be sure to share them so folks can show up in solidarity if it gets to that point. But it's done the opposite. It's kind of going, how the fuck could you dare that? Like, you pigs. And it happens every time you see that violence. It's tough to watch these videos from afar sometimes. I can't be at every action. And I know I'm speaking to people that are listening that you're just like, I can't believe I wasn't there to protect them. And there's that frustration. But it's just steeled my resolve to just like make more time and find a way and, you know, do more. Yeah, I your fears will not be realized, comrade. I promise.
That's beautiful.
I promise. And seeing the amount of blockades that went down on April 15th anyway, you know, I know you couldn't watch it. You were a little busy, but I hope you caught some of the videos that, like, globally, people are just shutting it down and they're fucking not. We've got lessons to learn over here in North America. We could be so lame. But, I mean, people are waking up everywhere and learning different tactics to shut it down and gaining courage from folks they probably will never meet. And it's a new world there for us to shape there. And I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it. How you feeling?
I love it. Yeah, it's inspiring, right? And, you know, we need people to keep coming out, keep showing up, replace the people that aren't able to come out. Aren't able to come out anymore, are tired, yeah. You know?
Yeah, it's a long slog, yeah. And it's been six, almost 7 months.
It is. And it takes all of us.
Thank you just doesn't suffice. I do it at the end of every episode. I mean it. Like, I mean it. Thank you, thank you, thank you for coming into the studio when I imagine there's a million other things that you could do. I really appreciate you coming on our little show. I kind of like, I took it personal. That might sound so self-centered, but like, having you both on the show and then having arrested, it was just, and like the fact that we encourage people to do this, I was just really upset about it. And, but more than anything, I appreciate the work that you and your comrades continue to do, particularly the ones that we don't get to talk to.
Yes.
That they don't get to tell their story firsthand, perhaps, for many, many reasons. So I know they're all out there and I appreciate it so very much.
They're solid folks, you know, and I think every person that I meet out at protests has so much heart, so much resolve, and so much beauty in them for coming out, you know?
Thank you, Anna.
Thank you.
That is a wrap on another episode of Blueprints of Disruption. Thank you for joining us. Also, a very big thank you to the producer of our show, Santiago Helu Quintero. Blueprints of Disruption is an independent production operated cooperatively. You can follow us on Twitter at BP of Disruption. If you'd like to help us continue disrupting the status quo, please share our content. And if you have the means, consider becoming a patron. Not only does our support come from the progressive community, so does our content. So reach out to us and let us know what or who we should be amplifying. So until next time, keep disrupting.